Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Dean's Den, with your host, the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, and from SportsKina.com, Lee Walker. Live from the Dean's Den, brings you the latest in wrestling news and wrestling opinion from two of the best journalists in the sport. So sit back, pop open a cold one, and get ready for Live from the Dean's Den. Fans, welcome to the latest edition of Live from the Dean's Den. The Dean of Wrestling Referee Steve Kane, along with Lee Walker. Lee, how you doing today?
You know, work was a little stressful today, but that's good because I can take my frustrations out on some product I watched this week.
Oh, okay, that sounds interesting. Oh my gosh. So, all right, well, this week's episode we have titled Never Say Never Again. And the reason for that is because in just a few weeks over at AEW Revolution, Sting, the man who in 2014 said that he had wrestled his last match ever, is coming out of retirement to wrestle at AEW in a tag match. So let's go ahead and let's kind of talk about this whole thing, Lee, because in fact, actually, you noted it first and before I even actually caught it. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about it here?
So truth be told, I don't really know much about it. I have really not been watching AEW. And this past Tuesday, I had to cover AEW Dark. And when I said I didn't take my frustrations out on everything, you're about to hear it. Let me tell you one thing. As a fan of 30 years in professional wrestling, as a journalist in wrestling for 3 years, AEW Dark is hands down the worst product I have ever watched out of any wrestling I have ever seen in my entire life. It's not the wrestler's fault. I blame the company itself. Why are there 14 matches with not one storyline and two bad promos to which the announcers were laughing during the entire time of one, to which at one point, I'm pretty sure during the Evelise match, it was a tag team match, I'm pretty sure I heard Taz say Evelise has a boner. Ridiculous. It's stupid. Now, going to this AEW match, fans, I do not understand why everybody wants to hate the fact that Goldberg is returning to WWE for another match, but a man who's 10 years older than him is about to have a match, and you're popping. I don't get it. I don't know why. Furthermore, the match that he is in doesn't make any sense to me. Darby Allin against Team Taz, Brian Cage, and Pretty Ricky. Now, those are two guys in phenomenal shape. You want to paint a picture for me how a 62-year-old is going to beat two of the best-looking freaking wrestlers out there? Brian Cage has bowling balls for shoulders. It makes no sense, and I don't like it.
All right. You heard it right there. Well, that's the match. It's going to be the Team Taz, Brian Cage and Ricky Starks will be taking on Sting and the current TNT champion, Darby Allin. Now, of course, for those who have been watching on the regular, you know that Starks and Allin have been going at it for quite some time. Cage got into the middle of it. Cage had a title match with Allin, which he did lose. And when they were getting ready to tear him apart, the lights went off. The snow started falling. In came Sting. Starks took a bat to the gut, and then they promptly bailed. So this is what's going to be happening on February 26th. Now, granted, you talk about Sting's age, Lee. He's 60. I'm 3 years older than him. I'm not anywhere near the physical condition that he is in. I will say this. I am glad that, you know, if he's doing it, he's doing it in this format where he doesn't have to really do much of anything. You know, he might, you know, he comes in, delivers a few shots. Darby will probably take the heat. And then, of course, Sting will be the big hero and make the comeback and finish it all off. So, I mean, at least
that's the way
I'm seeing it right now.
No, I will give it that. It will be a classic tag team style match. The heels are going to tag in and out, in and out, in and out. Darby's going to be the guy who takes the brunt of the punishment for the tag team. He's going to be the one doing the crawling on his hands and belly, you know, trying to get the Sting, makes the tags. You know, Sting rifles off on both guys. He's either going to drop one of them, the Scorpion Death Drop, or, you know, we're going to see the Scorpion Death Lock, one of the two, and that's going to be the match.
I would say both. I'm gonna say that Cage gets the Death Drop done on him. Stark submits with the Scorpion Leg Lock. I'm gonna call that right now.
Yeah, I agree to that. I agree. But
so,
again, to me, after watching AEW Dark, I have been so turned off, because now the next thing I want to talk about, we don't even have this on the program. I want to know why, and you're going to know this name. I want to know why Ryan Namath is debuting on AEW Dynamite when there is tons of talent busting their ass on AEW Dark, which is only on YouTube week in and week out. This man has yet to even step foot in AEW, and it's already announced that he's going to be on AEW Dynamite. Why? Because his brother's Dolph Ziggler, and they're going to milk him for all that he's worth with that name. That man should be starting on AEW Dark, like Mike Verna, Baron Black, Sonny Kiss, which, by the way, every name I just listed is definitely more talented than Ryan in my eyes. So if you can't tell, yeah, I'm a little angry with AEW.
Hey, Phil, I mean, I'll give you that. You have the right to be. I mean, yeah. Dark is kind of the show off for all the guys that they have that they don't have, you know, enough TV time for, because obviously, you know, they can't put on a, you know, they don't even want to put on a 3 hour show. They'd have to put on a 5 or 6 hour show to show off everybody that they have working for them and that. So it's a little bit different. I'll admit I'm kind of hit or miss on Dark. I don't watch it probably as much as I could or should. You know, the names that you mentioned, I sit there and I think of Sonny Kiss. Now Sonny Kiss is coming back from a leg injury, so he's probably working his way back up. So that might be, you know, why they're kind of keeping him in Dark at the moment and that, you know, Namath, yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, that's a pretty obvious one. I mean, yeah, your brother is, one of the top stars in WWE. So yeah, they're going to go ahead and, you know, try and play off
that,
even though, of course, obviously, you know, Dolph doesn't use the Namath name.
No, but there's also the fact that Ryan, when you look at Ryan and Nick, they look pretty similar in the face. And what did Ryan just recently do? I'm pretty sure he recently just dyed his hair to match the same color as his brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
if you look at the image,
that's definitely Dolph Ziggler blonde.
If you look at the image that they're using of him for the debut against Hangman Page, the hair, aside from the fact that it's short, is the same color as Dolph's.
Yep. Exactly. Can't argue with that one. Cannot argue with that one, Lee. You're absolutely right on that. So, okay. Well, now that we've kind of gotten through that, let's go ahead. Let's break into some MLW. And I sat down, actually watched that latest episode this afternoon. And this is the one you really cover for SportsKita. Folks, if you don't have a connection on SportsKita, do that. And make sure you follow Lee Walker. And then you can get all the insights that Lee has on the current MLW product. So, Lee, why don't you go ahead and kind of talk about that? Because as we mentioned in the write-up here, we talk about the fact that Selena De La Renta is getting involved in what could be a really big potential storyline, which, again, involves the possible new executive producer lead writer for MLW.
Yeah, so this week, MLW Fusion, not only did we hear about Selena De La Renta, as Alicia Atout was set to do an interview with her, and the very first question she asked was about the temple. Now, they use the Spanish name for it. I can't pronounce it. I'm not even going to try. I apologize. But somebody owns basically Lucha Underground now.
Right, yeah. And, well, because what happens is Promociones Dorado, which is the quote-unquote company that Selena De La Renta storyline runs and has run ever since MLW debuted, was apparently, quote-unquote, bought out by a group that she referred to as Azteca Underground.
Yes. Basically, as Alicia Atout asks the question, who owns the company, Selena De La Renta got up from the interview and refused to answer the question. So now Alicia Atout is going to be digging deeper into it. So Selena De La Renta didn't give an answer, really.
No.
As too far as who owns it. However, it's leading me to believe that we are going to see more faces than just Mil Muertes in MLW. Because now we already have the Los Parks, who are from AAA. They are now the MLW Tag Team Champions. However, Laredo Kid is also from AAA. But I'm expecting to see some Lucha Underground faces in the near future. That's where I think some of this is building up to.
That's an interesting thought, because I'm wondering, though, because, of course, your two main talents from Lucha Underground, Phoenix and Pentagon Jr., Penta El Zero M.A., are full-time with AEW.
Yep.
And Cage also, because, of course, Cage was their big guy. John Hennigan, a.k.a. John Morrison, was Johnny Mundo over there. Sonny Kiss was Exolicious in the last season. One guy that I'm thinking friend of mine, and that who definitely was very big over on Lucha Underground is Marty Casas, a.k.a. Marty the Moth Martinez.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, the creepy blankety blank, as they used to call him in the temple with the believers. I'm just, and Marty's just gotten off of a long-standing neck and back injury, and is just starting to get himself back out there again. Does the possibility exist that the Moth, and I'm going to throw this one out there, his sister Mariposa, cheerleader Melissa.
Yeah.
But what would they do? Because MLW does not really have a women's division.
No, MLW really doesn't. However,
please.
Selena De Laurenta, we know, Ken, and Alicia Atout has been post some workout videos kind of teasing a match between the two of them. So we could see a women's division come sooner than later. Again, that's, you know, all up to, you know, when that will happen. MLW did see a lot of other action in the night as Contra Unit went 3-0 for the night. And a big star for them debuted, former WWE Impact Wrestling's Daivari. Fantastic match against Zenshi, a great middleweight wrestler, just as same as Daivari. However, I cannot get over the shape that Daivari is in. The man is in the best looking shape of his life. If you have not seen him, go watch MLW and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of a women's division, a women's division that hadn't been seen for a while because, of course, lockdown, COVID, and that. Made their reappearance at the most recent Ring of Honor taping. They've taped a TV enough to fill in for the next month. And during those tapings, former Beautiful People member Angelina Love and Mandy Leon made their returns to Ring of Honor. So, and they're being brought back for a feud with the ring announcer Quinn McKay. So this might be the jumping off point for getting Women of Honor back up and running. So I'm gonna be interested to see what they do with that. How about you?
Absolutely, I like Ring of Honor, and they've always kind of struggled with their women's division. But, you know, having Angelina Love and stuff be part of the company, I believe, has helped. And, you know, they also have Maria Manic, who I cannot wait. You know, she is built like Rhea Ripley, phenomenal shape. And the woman can work, and I cannot wait to see her again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't have this one on our format sheet, but it is a big announcement as far as TV in general goes, let alone the potential impact for sports, for the WWE, as a matter of fact. NBC, according to SportsBusinessDaily.com, is planning on shutting down NBC Sports Network by the end of this year. Now, that one kind of hurts me in a way, because I'm a big Berkeley's Premier League fan. And so I'm always watching soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. Hang on just a second here. Always, yeah, I hate that. I felt like a sneeze was coming on, and then it doesn't. Oh, that's frustrating. But what that does is it's going to move a lot of NHL games and NASCAR over there. And that could lead to a lot of, as they're saying, could lead to preemptions of NXT a lot, especially during the playoffs and even WWE Raw. And if they're not, they're not struggling enough. Last week, the NXT drew 854,000 viewers, and NXT drew 551,000 viewers. So,
man, oh man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just. NXT is hands down the better product. You can't tell me otherwise. I've watched both. I've studied both. I've paid attention to the matches. I've paid attention to promo work. Bubba Ray Dudley was right. If you ever listened to him on Busted Open Nation with his podcast with Mark Henry and Dave and all those guys, NXT is a complete show. It has everything that you look for in professional wrestling. AEW, I don't know if it's the promos. I don't know if it's the matches, because when I watch AEW Dark, every freaking match except for two were the same. Everybody did the same kick. Everybody did the same neck breaker. Everybody, it was match after match. It was like they did one match and said, okay, everybody go off of this and then put some of your own twists in it. But every match felt the same. I can't really speak for AEW Dynamite because I am watching and covering MLW at that time. However, if Dynamite is anything like Dark, it's no. There's no.
Okay, no, it is. No, it is definitely not. I will tell you. I will tell you that right now. You know what? If you go to TNTdrama.com, you can sit there and you can watch full episodes, and you can see it. It's a more standard wrestling program like a Raw or a SmackDown, the talent is definitely up there, and that's why the fans are tuning in. So,
you know, I just, like I said, I've watched. I've like I said, I watched the Brody Lee special episode, and I had watched the product when it first started, but I stopped watching it. And then when I watched AEW Dark, if you've never watched wrestling before and that's your first wrestling show that you have ever watched, I would personally never watch professional wrestling again if that's the first thing that my eyes saw when it came to pro wrestling.
You know, I can completely understand where you're coming from on that. Yeah, like I say, I would not call it a true wrestling program, in that sense of the word. You know, it's more a, yeah, let's Let's get these guys out here, get them some work. You know, give them some work. Let's see what they've got, so that when we take them back into the training gym, we can go ahead and buff them up a little bit more in that. So,
and I don't want them to take any disrespect. I'm friends with Sonny Kiss, Mike Verna. I've interviewed Sonny Kiss multiple times. I've interviewed Billy Gunn, who's a coach over in AEW. I've interviewed the Young Bucks. I've interviewed Kenny Omega. So, I mean, again, no disrespect, but what my eyes see, my eyes just didn't like.
Okay.
But on a brighter note, I got to ask you something, Steve.
Yeah, please.
Did you see who debuted at Impact Hard to Kill?
Okay.
Who's the guy?
Oh, you mean Matt Cardona? Yes.
I was just about to say he was a guy that used to go woo woo woo. You know it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's against our friend the mall worker, Ace Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great pay-per-view, but this past week on Impact, I know that you had something written down that was pretty interesting.
Okay, which part was that?
When it came to Impact this past week, we've talked about this before.
Oh yes. A certain New Japan wrestler who used to be is actually still in the group, although of course the group now is entirely Japanese due to all the travel restrictions and that is Tama Tonga. Well,
correct.
Tama Tonga, I don't know if you saw this on his Instagram, but
ooh, he is not happy.
Not happy is an understatement. He made an outright overture to WWE.
Oh, yeah.
Says, New Japan door is open. Your door is open. Let's do business. So
I like it.
It's an interesting thing because, of course, obviously, I mean, they don't get there more than once a year, but WWE goes there as WWE. And, in fact, they actually refused to allow Kairi Sane to do a Stardom event.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, hey, she's under contract to us. She's an ambassador for us. She's supposed to be helping to train future talent. We're not going to have her on another company's show. And of course Bushiroad, which owns New Japan, also owns Stardom. So I'm not really sure how they're going to get past those type of situations. This may just be, Tama Tonga being bitter about the fact that Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers are out there and the Bucks, and they're doing the Too Sweet and all the stuff that relates to what has always been the bulk of the Bullet Club's routine. So
yep,
I don't know, Lily.
And
I don't know.
And this week on Impact, as we have talked on this show regularly, that, you know, the different scenarios that could happen with this AEW Impact thing. Well, we saw a little bit more of that this week on Impact as Matt Hardy and the Private Party from AEW showed up on Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, not just showed up, with a little help from Jerry Lynn, won their match and are now the current number one contenders for the Impact tag team titles, which, of course, being held by the Good Brothers, who have invaded AEW and have been beating up on their top star. So it's, you know, it's definitely interesting. And of course, the fact that in his promo when they came out, Matt not only blasted the company and said that, you know, he's the one who saved it, not only him but his brother Jeff, who he did mention by name, you know, were the ones who, because of the broken gimmick, saved that company from bankruptcy. So it's definitely a very interesting dynamic that they're doing here with this. Now,
I like it.
Oh, definitely. Now, and the fact that, you know, here they are, they're all cooperating and that. And I think that, too, Lee, is another reason for the high TV ratings that AEW is getting, is because they are doing all this crossover. Oh, you see Kenny Omega beating up on Rich Swann on Tuesday in Nashville, and then Wednesday he's in Jacksonville, and he's fighting Rey Fénix for the title. And then the Good Brothers come in. You know, I mean, there's definitely a lot of potential in this. There's an excellent article on WrestlingNewsSource.com with Tony Khan, where he talked with John Moxley's wife Renee, and there's another interesting story. I don't know if you caught that on SmackDown tonight, but Renee is also coming back to WWE backstage. So,
yeah, they're having a special episode of it.
I think that's
a rather interesting thing. Yeah, I think it's a one-time thing because I believe that CM Punk is coming back for it as well.
Okay. Yeah. And
but,
you know, for those who aren't aware, his contract is only with Fox. It's not with WWE. So go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right there. But there's also the fact that it's been, I don't want to say kind of teased or anything, because I know that Renee has at one time stated she's going to stay away from wrestling for a little while. But, you know, if you check the rankings of podcasts when it comes to wrestling, I believe her podcast is currently ranked number one. She's the number one ranked podcast when it comes to pro wrestling right now. So, you know, again, you know, that kind of leaves me believe when she says she's kind of stepping away from wrestling for a little while. Is she really, though, now that she's coming back? And I believe, like I said, it's just a one-time episode that they're doing for this.
Right.
But I'm because of her husband and the fact that she is pregnant, I'm expecting her to, yes, take the time off for, you know, the pregnancy and this and that, but I highly anticipate that she will be part of AEW at some point.
Yeah, that's the thing. I actually thought that she was going to be in there a lot earlier, but she kind of, you know, stepped away to a large extent. And then, of course, that's where then she started doing this podcast called Oral Sessions. And so she's interviewing a lot of the guys in that. In fact, the interview with Tony is part of that Oral Sessions podcast. And he says that actually the whole thing about joining forces with Impact is actually Kenny Omega's idea.
Ooh.
He was the one who came up with it. He and Don Callis are very, very close. And so he kind of figured that trying to be the big heel in that he's somebody that could go ahead and get the audience to support that, and he figured Don was just the right guy. And if you go back all the way back to the ECW days when Don was Cyrus the Virus and the Network Authority, and that he definitely knew how to get a crowd to hate him. So, you know, at least the one good thing with when they go to do AEW TV, at least they have an audience, to work off of, which they don't have at Impact, obviously. So that kind of gives them a little more chance to go and do more with it. Ooh, excuse me, I'm so sorry. Hope I didn't blow your ears out.
I'm good.
All right.
Yeah. No. So. The whole thing with the. I love the crossover. I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had some friends sit there and say, well, they're going slow with it, and my response has just always been the same. Slow and steady wins the race, my friend. Slow and steady.
Yep.
Wins the race.
Yep.
These guys,
yep, this is,
are geniuses. Yeah, Cyrus, you know, Don Callis, he's doing, it's fantastic work. It's great storytelling. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of shocked that guys like Cornette and Russo, you know, aren't jumping for joy over something like this.
Well, Jim is not the biggest AEW or Omega fan. In fact,
anybody
who listens to Jim on a regular basis knows that he calls Kenny Omega Olivier derisively.
Yeah. I've listened to his work, but you know, if you forget the fact that, you know, yeah, he wrestled a 9-year-old girl in Japan and this and that, and the goofy stuff that he's done that, you know, the likes of, you know, according to Cornette, Russo would do, which is fine. You don't, you know, neither one of these guys like each other, but in my eyes, what's going on, they should like. I think it's great.
Yeah, but it's
build up.
It's Jim's prejudice against
because
anything
yeah.
modern.
And I look at this as the WCW, ECW invasion angle. However, that was a rushed product. That was not a good product. What we're getting is slow and steady wins the race. Because the invasion angle didn't last long. If you remember that correctly, in 2001, it did not last long at all.
Right.
Maybe three, four months at best.
Right, I think so. And it also, of course, didn't help that you knew the fact that, you know, Vince owned all of them. So
yeah,
it wasn't like there was, you know, legitimate two or three separate promotions going one up against the other. I mean, not only do you have that, you have the fact that in the main event of an Impact Wrestling pay-per-view, their champion was pinned by the champion of the other company. I mean,
yeah,
that's a really big thing when you think about that.
Yeah.
And
that's what I like about this is the fact that even though I made comparisons, this, the way that they're doing it is my opinion a lot better and than, you know, the invasion angle, not just because of what the invasion angle was, but like you had said, they own the company.
Yeah.
They own the company. What do you do?
Yeah.
At that point.
Exactly.
It's just.
Exactly.
And you knew WWE wasn't losing. It was just something you knew. You knew WWE was not going to lose any of that.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, but I mean, again, at the same time, I mean, just from my eyes,
mm-hmm.
Impact, and like I said, I've very, very made it clear I am not happy with Impact. The only thing I'm cool with when it comes to Impact is this crossover right now, or I'm sorry, I'm not happy with AEW, but what I am happy with right now is this crossover that they're doing with Impact. It's helping Impact.
Uh-huh.
It's giving them new life.
Right.
Obviously the ratings have gone up for AEW, like you stated, but I like what it's doing for Impact. Now I know.
Oh yeah.
That we had talked about it in Impact, I believe, or Access Television is actually paying for the production cost of AEW,
right,
which is huge. But I'm hoping that this doesn't turn out to be some sort of, I don't want to say like they do like a point system type deal where it's like one company takes all, you know, if done right, I'd be interested, but I don't want to see like a point like where it's like AEW beats Impact totally and this and that. And then whatever the relationship is, that's like not heard of again type deal. I want to see this continue for a long time. It's helping both companies. It's helping them both in the ratings. It's helping also like the younger stars get more time on TV because like Private Party and stuff like that. It's helping them, you know, and then it's a good thing. And as we've talked, we've said that, you know, well, you know, New Japan could get involved, or, you know, MLW has a working relationship with AAA. AAA has a working relationship also with Impact. There could be like a huge mega crossover event. But for what we're getting right now and what we're seeing, slow and steady wins the race, as I've been saying.
Yep. Yep. That is very true. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I say, it's a marathon and not a sprint. Yeah. You know, and that's the big thing right there. So, okay. Now, going to GCW for a moment or two. Starting on January 29th at 8 p.m., through 8 p.m. on Saturday, January 30th, they are running 24 hours of wrestling called Fight Forever. Now, they are using some of their own events for the culture. Effie's thing, they're now including Black Label Pro, No Peace Underground, Camp Leapfrog, Glory Pro, Freelance out of Chicago. And then GCW's first all-women event, Alley Cat's Real Hot Girl. They had five matches announced. One had to be canceled. And that was because one of the competitors got signed somewhere else. Originally Joey Janela was supposed to be going after Elena Black. Well, Elena Black signed to NXT, where she will now be known as Cora Jade. And we'll get into that in a minute as well, because they signed a few people, and one of them rather well known, one of them whom I'm interviewed, and is also unfortunately getting a name change. But anyway, the first matches that they have listed will be on from the first one will be from the Wind of God. They're calling it a Blackpool 2 out of 3 falls match, in which Blake Christian will take on Blackheart Lio Rush.
Huh.
Oh boy. Lee, hang on. Hang on for a minute, please.
Yeah. Well, fans, have no fear, because I am here. I am not going to diss AEW anymore tonight. But I will tell you this. Lio Rush is all over the place. He's currently doing a television show on MTV, the one of the real world type challenges, which I'm an MTV alumni myself. If you didn't know that, go and look up MTV True Life. I Worked for My Parents 2012. It's about a show to which I do not want to take over the family business, but it's just one of the family businesses my family owns. But the interesting thing is, if MTV looked at our LLC and DBA, they would actually see that I was part owner of the company at the time. So, tricks on you, MTV. Ha ha. More exciting news besides that. So with Lio Rush, we're both MTV alumni. The Miz and I are both MTV alumni. So there's always a tie-in when it comes to professional wrestling. And speaking of that, WWE is working on a new television show, the one that we talked about last week. Well, I had a Zoom conference call with the A&E Network producers and WWE. They are creating a new show about memorabilia, fans with memorabilia, and I am somebody who collects a lot of ring-worn gear. I have probably 400 or 500 signed action figures from missing 15 signed Hasbros, and I will have a complete signed collection. I have tons of WWE classic figures. I have tons of WWE elites. Usually these are all signed in person, except for those who are deceased that I have bought through third party, though have sent those off to JSA. Everything has come back nice and beautiful with them beautiful stickers. But going back to Lio Rush, he is all over the place. As you heard Steve say, he'll be at that part of that match or whatever. He's on MTV. He's on MLW. The man in a very short span has wrestled in just about every wrestling company there is, because he was part of WWE as well. Ring of Honor, Impact. He's been everywhere. That is what it is. But let's talk about some other things when it comes to professional wrestling. Aside from toys, coming up on Perched on the Top Rope, I will be having ECW Week. 7 nights, 7 interviews, ranging from the Dudley family, Chubby Dudley, also part of the Dudley family, Sign Guy Dudley. That's just not the coolest. That's not just the best. That's Justin Credible. That's right, I'm going to have Justin Credible on. Not only that, but a man who is famous for the music of ECW. He never does interviews, so this is a very rare one that you're going to want to listen to, ladies and gentlemen. Harry Slash. That's right, that ECW main theme that you know, Taz's theme, Sabu's theme. These were all done by Harry Slash. There's others like Saturn as well. That's only 4 people. So you're wondering, who are the others? I really want you to come in and join us this week on ECW Week. So I will not spoil the other 3 for you. Just know that I have those 4 and there are 3 others lined up. And ladies and gentlemen, you can find us at Perched on the Top Rope on Facebook. Twitter is Perched Top Rope. Instagram, Perched _ on _ the _ top _ rope. Perched on the Top Rope. Just an _ between each word. You can also find us on YouTube. Just search Perched on the Top Rope. Awesome interviews with the likes of MLW's Jordan Oliver, Kelvin Tankman, Gilbert. And you can also find us on Twitch, Perched on the Top Rope. But you can also find us on TikTok, Perched on the Top Rope. Don't forget to listen in every Friday and every Thursday with the ERN Network. Fans, not only can you listen to us there, but you can also listen to us anywhere podcasts are found, whether it's Podbean, Stitch, Google, Apple, anywhere. We're everywhere. We're also on YouTube. ERN, live from the Dean's Den. Check it out. We're live right now, as a matter of fact, on YouTube, in case you want an alternative to listen to us. I think I'm hearing Steve. Nope. Okay. Well, I will continue. Anyway, I'll go forward with talking about what's going to happen next week on MLW, as I have already been told by MLW that a Caribbean strap match is supposedly going to be the main event of MLW Fusion next week, as the Caribbean champion Richard Holiday will be squaring off against Savio Vega in a Caribbean strap match. Now, during the promo, Savio Vega is going to bring the same strap that he and Stone Cold Steve Austin faced each other with and beat the hell out of each other with in WWF. So make sure you tune into MLW next week to check out. That's right, this is no joke. Savio Vega.
I'm sorry, guys. I apologize. We're going to have to go ahead and cut this short. I just got really, really sick. Anybody who was watching on YouTube, I apologize for the blank screen for the last few minutes. I've got something, and it just decided to go ahead and hit on me. I apologize. Lee, I'm sorry, my friend. We'll take this all back up next week.
You're so fine. I just talked the whole time.
Well, good. I appreciate it. So I appreciate your indulgence, fans. We're running just a few minutes short, but I don't want to risk having to do that again. So thanks for listening. We will catch up with you next week. You've been listening to Live from the Dean's Den. Live from the Dean's Den airs every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Replays can be found on Amazon Music, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you may get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we'll be with you next week.